Welcome back here to the final hour of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I no sooner was I talking about drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon this weekend, I got texted a can of Pabst, not the beer, but a picture of one.
Yeah, it almost looks like you could drink it.
It does. It looks, it's a very cool picture. Thank you, Layla, for sending that to us by way of our Facebook page. And that can of Pabst you see there on the homepage
was sent to you by this young lady?
Yes.
Is this the one that's named Layla?
Yes. And,
And was she named that because of,
Yes, I think so, probably. You know.
You know that song, bud?
I'm familiar with it, I mean.
Yeah, because What are you looking at?
Do you want to sing a song?
Maybe. What's your problem?
I don't know, I just... Well, Margaret, I think we'd love to hear you sing a song. Excuse me. Why are you doing that, General? She does it.
Because he feels free. Because he feels free. There, I just almost did it, too. He feels free to do it. Free to do it.
Every time you pound your hand on the table, it reverberates through the...
I apologize.
...microphone. Okay.
But you know the song. The song, Phil, if you don't mind.
Yeah?
Was about George Harrison's girlfriend. All right, forget it.
No, I mean, the story is interesting. It was George Harrison's girlfriend that Eric Clapton fell in love with.
Yeah, it's a baby boomer story.
Yeah, it's a bunch of old people stuff.
It is. But I got to tell you, and as I've often said, George Harrison is one chilled out guy to let some cat fall in love with his girlfriend. He's like, oh, whatever, you know.
Well, he was a Beatle. What big deal, you know?
Yeah, figure Mr. Allen, dime a dozen.
Well, I think that's a hell of a way to view a woman's favors. A young lady that is offering her favors to you to say, well, you're a dime a dozen. Well, he was a Beatle. I understand that he was a Beatle. To what extent that gives you, that allows you free range to roam all over a woman as if she's nothing more than a prairie and you're a steer squatting wherever. I find it to be very... insulting and not very kind of women.
Well, a steer not going to squat.
What's that?
Steers don't squat.
Well, whatever, bud. What do you mean steers don't squat? Is a steer an animal?
Yes, a steer is an animal, General.
Well, I'm asking Dickman. What do you mean steers don't squat?
Steers just stand.
When they urinate, yes. But are you telling me that a steer doesn't go off and find someplace... What? Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. I get tired of being preempted on this program. Now, I've got a very good question. I said to you, and to the three of you, and to the four of you, do I make five?
Yes, we're four, and you make five.
All right. I said that I felt it was wrong for anyone. I don't even give a sweet you-know-what if it was one of the Beatles. Who had this girl and decided, well, I'm a Beatle, so I'll just pass this woman on to another man. And I think that that's very insulting. All right, no, hold on for a minute. Now, I said, a woman is not a prairie to be wandered over like you're a steer, squatting wherever you want, and then this guy here, Dickman, that you know I've had a problem with from day one...
That's too bad. Steer don't squat.
See what I'm saying? Why don't you put that on a bumper sticker? Steer don't squat.
Because that's wrong.
Well, General, you gotta admit, if a man finds you wrong, man got a right to be a man.
I think a man should be a man.
This is not exactly a test of manhood, whether steers squat or not.
No, that's not the test, but it's whether the information is correct. And you're trying to tell me that a steer, like any animal, if it has to to drop one, it won't go off and find a private area?
What are you talking? Why would a steer need privacy?
Have you ever seen a cat take a dump?
Yes.
Don't they look for privacy?
No.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. They bury it. That's right.
Yeah, they bury it. Cats have that. That's what they do.
And dogs don't.
And so you think steers do?
I was given to understand that steers dig a hole. You think that's funny, huh, laughing boy? Have you ever worked... Were you ever on a dude ranch?
Were you on a dude ranch?
No, I was not on a dude ranch. I wouldn't go to a dude ranch. But I had the opportunity to work a ranch.
Well, did you?
No, I said, because they called it a dude ranch, and I wouldn't degrade myself.
What is a dude ranch?
A dude ranch is like a guy's not a cowboy.
Yeah, it's where guys that ain't cowboys go and pretend.
Oh, well, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to some dude ranch like some guy that wears his pants up to his neck and his wife drops him off with a brown bag with a sandwich and a bot, God knows what, with a sandwich with God knows what's between the bread, and then he's got a bottle of something, you know.
All right, I mean, I understand. I wasn't City Slickers about that?
Yes, City Slickers was about a dude ranch and so on, but the general there is saying that he never worked a ranch, but if he were to work a ranch, it'd be a real ranch. But then you haven't, General, have you?
No, I have not.
And neither has Phil.
All right, but here's the thing. We're talking about the Beatles, right?
Yes.
All right, so who cares whether a steer digs a hole before it takes a dump? You know, I mean,
it would be kind of interesting to find out.
I can assure you, having never worked on a ranch, having never been on a dude ranch, having never been on a cattle drive, having never worn a cowboy hat while I was working, maybe I wore a cowboy hat for laughs, no steer digs a hole and craps into it the way a cat does.
And you know that how?
Come on, I've seen steers crap. I've been on horses when they take a dump. A horse just doesn't even stop. Horse just keeps on walking, man. Same thing with steers.
So you're telling me a steer goes ahead and relieves itself that way and doesn't give a sweet damn?
That's right.
I think that is... Mister, you better be prepared to back that up.
What is it with you, General? Are you serious or something? I mean, you know, is that hard to believe?
I'm just telling you what I've heard.
I think a lot of guys are yanking your chain, man. I want to get back to,
Well...
No. I want to get back to Rob Ford. Rob Ford, allegedly, according to CNN, and this is the mayor of Toronto, who I was perfectly willing to dismiss as just another crackhead mayor. We've had them down here in the United States. Why wouldn't Canada have at least one? Canada is not unlike professional athletics here in America, a microcosm of our own country, you know. So whatever happens in America, it happens in Canada, only at a smaller scale, you know.
The only thing they have in Canada that seems to be equal to what we have are serial murderers.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, that thing we're seeing today.
We saw a thing today on television about some... They've got serial murderers up there that are creepier because these are the ones that live on farms, you know, and they have pickup trucks and...
Yeah, they're like Ed Gein.
They're like Ed Gein types up there. They're rural and weird, and they wear the funny hats, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, they had that pig farmer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
God! That pig farmer.
Yeah, they had a pig farmer up there, and they had another guy that I saw a story about a... And that other guy, that Bernardo, or whatever the hell.
Oh, that Paul and that Carla Homolka. What a... You talk about the devil's spawn. That woman got away with all kinds of murder. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, what was that guy, Paul Bernardino or some crap?
Paul San Bernardino.
It wasn't Paul San Bernardino, you nitwit. It was Paul Bernardi.
Yeah, something like that. And the girlfriend, and that guy was a serial murderer that worked on the in the suburban section, like Scarborough, suburban Toronto. And my aunt and my cousins were living out there when that creep was doing his thing. And that guy was some kind of messed up, man. And the girlfriend helped him. And then she turned state's evidence, and they cut a deal with her.
Yeah, and they let her go, and he's inside, and it turns out she's a piece of garbage, too.
Yeah, it turns out she was helping kill, too. So now apparently she's married, and she's in private life, and she's keeping her head, you know, she's just sort of... doing her thing, man. She's trying to keep her nose clean.
Well, time though, women, they get away from those guys, though.
You can't blame the guy. She's just as bad.
Well, you know, I agree. Sometimes the women, once they get away from these animals, and they turn back into ladies once they get away from the animal. But if they're with the animal, this Paul Bernardino or Paul San Bernardino, whatever it is.
Paul Bernardino, something like that, yeah.
Well, what is his name? Paul Bernardo?
Oh, that's it, Paul Bernardo.
No, Paul Bernardino.
No, Phil's right. It's Paul Bernardo.
Well, forget it. I don't even...
Why you say forget it?
I don't want to comment on a case. I can't even say what the guy's name is without sounding like I took one off the mouth or something. It sounds like I've got a...
All right, anyway, that's just one example of Canada in microcosm. The other may be American politics. Here is Rob Ford, and he's talking about America. He says, if you think American-style politics is nasty, you guys have just attacked Kuwait, he said to groans and laughter in the council chambers, and you'll never see something. Mark my words, my friends, this is going to be outright war in the next election, and I'm going to do everything in my power to beat you guys. Undeterred, the council voted 36-5 to slash the budget of the mayor's office and transfer most of his duties to the deputy mayor. City Councilor Karen Stint said Ford, quote, doesn't understand the issues he's facing, and Monday's vote reduces him to a figurehead. Why don't they just get rid of him?
Well, it's the way they do it up there. I don't know.
You was just up in Toronto. Did it look like everything was weird?
What do you mean I was just up in Toronto? Did it look like everything was weird?
Well, you were up there.
Yeah, I was up there. So what?
Well, what did it look like?
It looked like a city. What am I supposed to know what it's going to look like?
Well, it was Ford. Did you see him out of the streets? Was he had he gotten out of the chambers there and was out on the streets?
I didn't see anybody. I didn't see him. Why would I see anything?
You know, Phil, you're a guy. You were just in Toronto, and you're all, I don't know. What is it with you? All the quick answers, huh?
Hey, I don't know anything about the guy. I was up there in Canada, and I was visiting my relatives. I don't know. I never even heard of this cat. My question is, and it must be like you said, Margaret, the way they run things up there, how come this guy wasn't just taken out?
And shot.
Not shot. Why isn't he just, removed from office? All right, we'll take a break. We're running late. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, so we want you guys to make sure that you pick up a backstage pass, and that's going to give you access to all kinds of neat things on our website, our archives, our daily podcast, our classic podcast, and more. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There was a plane crash in Russia, in Kazan, Russia, video broadcast. Look at this, man. I didn't want them to show that just yet. I have the video here, and I don't really know what kind of audio we're going to get from it, but it's from Russian TV, and it is of this plane crashing. Let me see here. Yeah, it's just, all it is it's a fireball. It's unbelievable. Unfortunately, the audio is just simply a background. But a video broadcast by Russian television shows a Russian plane going down at a near vertical angle and exploding on the tarmac in Kazan in a giant fireball. Sunday's crash in the central Russian city of Kazan killed all 50 people on board.
That's it there?
Yeah. And you can see it if you are online. Probably see stills from it. The brief video broadcast Monday by Russian television has been confirmed as authentic to the Associated Press by the Emergency Press Service at Kazan Airport. The video emerged as investigators were combing through the charred fragments. It was a Boeing 737 trying to determine the cause of the deadly crash. The plane belonging to Tatarstan Airlines was flying in from Moscow, 520 miles to the west, when it crashed while making its second attempt at a landing. Vertical. Which is
straight up and down.
Straight up and down, man. The son of the provincial governor and the chief of the local branch of Russia's main security agency were among the victims. The plane, which was flying from Moscow, crashed while making a second attempt at landing, said Alexander Poltonin, the head of the local branch of Russia's investigative committee. He said the investigators are trying to determine why the crew couldn't land at first try. He said the investigators are looking into possible pilot error or an equipment failure. The video taken by, well, I guess that kind of sums it up. It's either one or the other. The video taken by an airport security camera that was posted on the Life News website showed the jet slamming into the ground at a very sharp angle and exploding in a giant fireball. The traffic controller at the airport, who contacted the plane before the crash, said the crew told him they weren't ready for landing as it was approaching, but they didn't specify the problem. Fragments of the plane littered the tarmac, and fire crews spent hours extinguishing the blaze. It'll take weeks, according to this article, to identify the remains of the victims. So that sucks. plane crashes, they seem like they may be, I don't know, more spectacular now. It's only because we have all this video. I remember that plane, that Concorde that blew up, and that was a few years ago, but that was really a mind bender, because it was the Concorde jet. It was that famous Concorde. It hasn't flown since. And it was taken off from Paris on its way, I guess, to New York. And it suddenly, apparently, it hit some debris, I think, on the runway. And that was the end of that. And I don't think it's flown since. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number, 855-500-7445. So the other news story here, Margaret, is what?
Well, this is amazing, and I did want to get Bob. By the way, I want to bring Bobby Dooley on. She's going to be talking about these children that they've got. She's done a couple of her podcasts about this, problems with some of the kids at the community there sticking their tongue out at her. So
sticking their tongue out at who?
At Ms. Dooley, and she'll be on here in just a second. But I wanted to direct your attention to the story about some, because we were doing our slut hunt earlier, having to do with this woman that shot the lion. They've got a newly crowned slut.
Well, you look like you enjoy that.
Yes, I do. Some slut that won a slut competition in England.
That won a what?
Won a slut. She's a slut. See right there.
Here's the slut here.
Yeah, see?
But I'll do it, bud. You're pointing at the wrong woman.
That's the slut there.
That's the slut. And this slut...
Now, wait a minute. Why is she called a slut?
Because she proudly proclaims that she sleeps with three different men a week. Now, I don't know who these men are, and I would think for the safety of themselves and any future generation they hope to influence as either fathers or grandfathers, that they immediately now, get themselves to a medical clinic of some kind. Get themselves to a medical doctor of some kind. Now.
What are you... God! Margaret, we're not talking here about a national emergency.
We're talking about the health and safety of God knows thousands of men.
Thousands? Three men a week?
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil. So that's only 52 times three. Is that a... No, that's... Yes, that's 103... How many is that?
150 men a year?
Well, that's not that many, is it?
Well, no, you're right. I just, the way you were saying, you know, get yourself now.
I'm advising any young man that has slept with this thing.
Well, what's her name, man? We got to find out what her name is here. Alina Desane. She says, all my friends are the same. We're all just up for having a great time and going out. Uni life is 3 years to be wild before it starts settling down and it really flies by. She's talking about going to the university. And this is in England. Britain's horniest student. Latvian bags the title.
That's something else. The Latvians already have a bad reputation as animals, as thieves, as liars, as murderers.
Whoa, man. You know something, Margaret? You want to watch that, because the Latvian people are some of the finest people.
Well, what do you care, General?
Maybe I know some Latvians. Maybe I'm trying to curry favor with some Latvians, and they turn on the radio and they listen to you bagging on them.
Are you really?
Maybe.
Well, what specifically are you doing?
That's none of your business. But I happen to know some Latvians, and I'm into some very interesting business propositions, and I don't want them turning the radio on and listening to you shooting your mouth off.
Well, I'm sorry, General, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Latvians are well known as thugs and thieves, liars of the first order.
Yeah, you're spitting on me.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did. You spit on me, too.
What?
You're going thugs and thieves.
You just spit on me.
Well, I'm showing you what you did.
Margaret, I understand. You're messing around with things that you know nothing of. Believe me, you may think you know what's going on here, but you don't.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about some of these Latvians I know aren't going to be smiling after they hear this show.
Wow, man.
Yeah, probably. Are you mobbed up or something?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Mobbed up with the Latvian mob, huh?
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm going to repeat what I said. These Latvians are the scum of the earth.
Margaret.
No. And this proves it. And this woman going out and infecting every man she sees. Oh, God. Frank, if I even hear you... Because I know Frank's traveling to England sometime in the near future. And if I even hear about you taking a side trip up to wherever this is...
I'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What is that, a cow? Oh, that's Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we're going to come back with more news to discuss. Oh, Bobby Dooley, right?
Yes.
Bobby Dooley will be on to talk about the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Apparently there's some smart-ass kids there that are sticking their tongue out.
Yes, I'll do it.
Be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. In a moment, we got Bobby Dooley on the line with us here. And this is a story that I've just been following myself. It's not marginal interest, but this family, the McStay family from Fallbrook, California, they've been missing since 2010, and their bodies were just found in the desert out in Riverside, somewhere out Riverside, San Bernardino, in the desert out there. After 3 years, this family gone. No one knew what happened to them. They thought they'd gone over the border to Mexico. They thought they had actual video surveillance of them at the pedestrian border crossing between the United States and Mexico. They really did. Even though there were family members that looked at that and said, no, that's not them, but it was of a man and a little boy and a woman and a little boy. Their car, their SUV, was found parked not far from the border. They themselves were found last week in shallow graves out in the desert here, 100 miles north of Fallbrook, just due east of Los Angeles. Now, the graves they were found in were shallow. They were dug, obviously, and two people each were laid in these two separate graves. And I look at stuff like that, and I just wonder, you know, the first thing I think about is the most mundane thing sometimes is the thing that happened. The most mundane and undramatic and unexceptional thing is oftentimes the thing that happened. For instance, when we say, like, remember the guy that everybody thought the UFO had abducted, and turns out his car just went off the bridge.
Oh, the man that was found in the river.
The guy that was found in the... aqueduct, yeah. They're like, they didn't know what happened to him, and months went by, and was he kidnapped by the FBI, and maybe it was the script he was working on, and all this stuff. And no, the guy fell asleep, and his car went off the road, and he went into the aqueduct, and that's where they found him. And this family, it's like somebody knew them, man. Somebody prepared these graves and wanted to kill them. I wonder if it was someone, it could be like a guy that worked for them, some worker, I don't know. But there's a whole article here about a radio host named Rick Baker. The dude is also an author. He wrote a book called No Goodbyes, The Mysterious Disappearance of the McStay Family. And this is an article about him that might be interesting. Bobby Dooley is going to join us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Ms. Dooley is going to talk with us here about... Now, what am I hearing here? Is that line two?
Line three.
Okay, Ms. Dooley is on the line with us here from Western Estates Homeowners Association. Sorry, Ms. Dooley, you there?
Yes,
You have Margaret was telling me that you have a little boy out there. Is it the Waddington family?
Well, there's a couple of them that we've noticed that we've put some of the adults on alert about. But I did do one of our podcasts, the Bobby Dooley podcast that we do every night, Phil, for air, for podcasting, I guess, or...
Will it be for download?
It's for what?
For download.
Yeah, for download.
You're not going to download.
No, they mean download on the computer. My husband Steve is here, Phil.
Yeah. Hi, Steve, how you doing?
Good, hi.
Hey, hi.
Yes, sir. So tell me, what is the problem?
Well, we've had some children here that apparently are taking the liberty... because they're empowered by their parents, and I think they're not very well disciplined, to do what I call the moose ears. And we did a podcast about it. It's the the moose ear and they pull their cheeks out and stick their tongue out?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I said it looked like a, you know.
Okay, you might have said that on the podcast. You can't say that here.
I'm sorry.
You can't say that here. You're going to have to use another word.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Steve.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Steve.
It's okay, Mr. Dooley. I just, you know.
Well, when they pull their cheeks out and stick their tongue out. Now, what is that? I mean, it's obvious to me. It should be obvious to anyone what they're saying.
It's a little 9-year-old kid. Are you telling me that there's some...
Well, no, I'm just saying that when they do that, it's absolutely disrespectful to a female. Let me put it that way.
So if they did that to a man, it wouldn't have as much of meaning?
No. Are you kidding? They're going,
yeah, Mr. Henry, you got to understand, a kid's pulling his cheek out and going, boo, like that. So that's right away.
No, I don't understand that. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, what's the point of us?
Just go ahead, Bobby. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it.
Well, the other kid, so there's that one. Then there's, now that one is a little boy by the name of Danny Waddington. The other is the daughter of Archibaldo Nimitz and his wife Barbara. Now they're expecting. Their daughter did the same thing. I was at one of the homes. I was talking to Sandy Fuller about our steering committee for a Wintertacular, and I was standing at her front door and we were chatting. And this little Nimitz girl walked by and pushed her nose up so she looked like a farm pig. You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, when a little kid pushes their nose up.
Yeah, I mean, it was very pig-like.
Yeah, and she pushed her nose up and went, "Hi, Mrs. Dooley," like that. So I immediately went to their home and I said, "I don't know if you're in control of your daughter or not, but she just walked by me, and I demonstrated it. I pushed my nose up, and Barbara Nimitz laughs. And I said, thank you very much. You'll be hearing from our attorney."
Whoa, Bobby, hold on for a minute.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry.
Well, tell him, dear.
Yes, I went over there to say your daughter is out of control, and I pushed my nose up to demonstrate.
Well, it was bound to look funny.
Excuse me. So, The woman goes, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." You approve of that?
I think if you push your nose up, I'm looking at myself right now on the camera.
And you're pushing your nose up on camera?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because I'm it looks funny.
Well, all right, forget it. Let me move on to my next topic then.
What before you do, what is it that you're looking to do?
I'm looking to have these children reprimanded, and if possible, to be remanded to Western State Security for a very mild form of corporal punishment, but one that is administered by our security branch with me overseeing it.
Yes, and tell them, because I think it's very it's unusual, but it could do a lot of good, Phil.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that these kids are spanked by your security people there?
With me overseeing it.
Yeah, but Jerry, see, they wouldn't do nothing without my wife being there.
Yes, with me overseeing it. And all it is they use a ruler, a standard ruler or yardstick, on the backs of the thighs.
No. No way.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. No way. If the parents give their approval.
No way. I can't imagine any parent giving their approval.
Well, they will if they don't want their homeowners association fees to go up, Phil. So, you know, you're in over your head.
Phil, I think this is something that's worth looking at.
Wait, hold on. I'm in over my head?
You're in over your head, Phil. It's out of your hands.
Phil, it's really out of your hands now. The kid pushed her nose up. The other one went, See, this is what he does.
No, I know. I've listened to the shows. I've heard your frustration.
This is what he does. When he can't get his way, it turns into a
I mean, you're talking about smacking these kids, not their parents, the security people at Western States, with you overseeing it, Bobby, with a yardstick or a ruler on the back of the thighs, because they pushed the nose up into a pig face and went, ew.
No, they didn't. Would you please demonstrate it, Margaret?
Yes, Phil, what they did was the little boy walked up, pulled his cheeks out, so what does that look like? And then went, ew. So...
Yeah, it was like a slit face.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then what was the other one?
Well, the other one was the pig. They pushed the nose up.
Push it. Here, I'll do it.
Yeah, it's funny.
No, you mean that I don't like... are you going to tell me this is a triangle?
Yeah, it's funny looking.
It's funny looking.
You can pull your nose down now, Margaret.
It's funny looking.
Yes, it's funny looking.
I don't even know if I can go on with this then.
I think that you really need to get educated on this issue, because it's widespread. It's getting worse.
What is the issue? Little kids not respecting homeowners association presidents?
To the extent, Phil, that they're pushing their noses up and going, "Hi, Mrs. Dooley, ha ha," they think nothing of basically saying that I look like some kind of a skullhead alien. I'm sorry, I'm...
All right, and then you had another issue, if you don't mind. Tell you what, let's take a break. You had another issue with Mr. Nimitz himself?
No, we have an issue with the fact that they're expecting, and we...
All right, let's hold the phone here.
Phil, you need to be a little bit more sensitive to these things.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm not. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're at 855-500-7445 as Bobby Dooley and Margaret here tell us about the couple of kids that are out of control there at Western Estates with the pig face and everything. Coming up next, we'll hear about Mr. Nimitz and his wife expecting. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, reminding you, we have a Saturday bonus show available for download at philhendryshow.com. We did a little bit of history talk. Speaking of that, I will be appearing on Drunk History on Comedy Central in the near future, also at the San Francisco Sketch Fest in late January, and other things to report and announce and have fun with as we move forward. And a heads up that, as is traditional, on the Phil Hendry Show, we do take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. We will have magnificent radio shows to air there for you. And we will be doing video casts throughout the week. Not long ones, but we'll be checking in with you guys by way of our video cast. Also, videos from the road. I'm thinking that I'm either going to go to D.C. or San Francisco during that week, but we'll let you know what's up. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray on the line with me talking about issues there at Western Estates having to do with the homeowners. And I understand, and this was the subject of a podcast you're doing, Bobby, the children sort of getting out of hand. Now, this Nimitz family.
Yes.
Are they? They're a prominent family.
Well, yes. Archibaldo Nimitz is. I think Margaret can address this.
He's a very prominent composer-arranger here in Los Angeles.
In the music business.
In the music business, yes.
And they just purchased one in our Yucca phase, which is at the very top of Rinaldo Drive. It is a cul-de-sac, prized lot, 3 acres. And they have their daughter that I told you did the pig face. Now I find that Barbara is pregnant. I went to them with my concerns last Friday. I went empowered with a letter from the Homeowners Association Executive Council, and I was empowered by a general yay or nay vote of a quorum of our homeowners.
Now tell them what the vote was on.
Yeah, well, the vote was simply this. Given the fact that they have this child that feels... safe to walk around and just shove their nose up so they look, like skull man or something. And when she said Mrs. Dooley, ha ha ha, it was obvious that she was trying to approximate. I think she was sending the message and sending it very clearly. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional.
That's all right, dear. Do you want me to?
Please.
We feel, and in hearing Bobby, that this little girl is sending the message very clearly that Bobby looks to her like a skullhead alien or something like that. You see?
Okay.
Well, what do you mean, okay?
Well, what is the... if you don't mind, Margaret.
Go ahead.
What is the issue? This is a child, and little children are going to make skull faces or what have you.
Exactly.
If I could, Phil.
Go on, General.
When I was, we were at Fort Benning, I was a young captain at the time, and there was a little boy that would go by our house. You know, we had base housing at the time, and I was there with Karen, and we were expecting our first, which was Jeff, and this little kid would go by and push her nose up and look like Pig Boy or something, and sometimes she'd do the whole moosier thing with the blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. Well, you just sounded like Miss Dooley there.
Yes, sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was going there, and I was afraid that my wife, Karen, would be scared, Phil, into giving birth to something that looked like what these kids were doing. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about something that I think is known to medical professionals. If you go by a pregnant woman and you're pushing your nose up like some little punk like these kids were doing, or going, or pulling the cheeks out, that you'll scare the woman enough so that it influences what the kid looks like. Why are you looking at me like...
I think both of you, you and Margaret, and excuse me, Ms. Dooley, I should say the three of you, are way out there. I don't hear what you're saying. It sounds like science fiction, and I'm not buying it.
You're not buying what? You're not... Are you saying that I'm nuts? Now, I can understand that you'd say Dooley and Gray are.
Yeah, you're nuts. What you're saying is even weirder than them. That if you scare a pregnant woman making a face, the kid's going to come out looking like that.
That's what I heard. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. God almighty.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, General.
All right, fine, I'm wrong. Sheesh. You beg have a cow over the thing.
Well, I would think it wouldn't take a discussion on a radio show for you to figure that out.
Yeah, that sounds really jacked up, General. Where are you coming from?
Where am I coming from? You're the one that's getting... All right, let's get back to what you wanted to say about Mr. Nimitz.
Yes, Archibaldo Nimitz is a brilliant man, but I did go to their home armed with a letter of intent empowered by a quorum vote. And I said to him, Mr. Nimitz, your ears and your nose are very prominent, and really what I should have said is they are very big. Now, I've done a lot of interior design, Phil, and so I used interior decorator lingo. Okay?
Yes, I understand what you mean, Bobby.
Yeah, I said to him, and I said to his wife, that your husband's ears and his nose overwhelm his face. And she immediately got it. She said, because I'm talking, women to women always do well, Phil. It's when the men stick their big fat, in the case of Mr. Nimitz, his really big fat nose in, that things get destroyed. I said, you know, and she said, really? I said, yeah, his nose and his ears are just disregarding his face entirely. They're dismissing his head.
I'm sorry. What does that mean? I don't...
It's interior design talk, Phil.
Yes. It's something that we, as interior decorators, we use this.
His ears and his nose are dismissing his head.
You know something, Bobby? Every time Phil asks questions like this, he's getting ready to be a smartass.
No, I know. I'm very familiar with the technique. I've been around Mr. Hendry.
I'm not getting ready to... But wait a minute. Anybody listening to the show right now are wondering what you guys mean when you say his ears and his nose are so big they dismiss his head.
It's as if the ears and the nose have said to the head, you don't even make a difference. You don't...
It's as if they're saying you don't even register.
Exactly, yes.
All right, and what are they supposed to do with that information?
What they're supposed to do with the information, and this is why I came empowered with a letter, we think it's a bad idea that they have this child, because if that's the way he looks, and they've got a daughter that's already done the pig face and could very well be influencing the looks of that child because of the whole, I forget what she did.
She's the one with the pig face.
Yeah. We think that it's not a good idea for them to have this child.
So this is something I've heard you do before, Ms. Dooley.
Mr. Henry, don't be so dramatic.
No, you're gonna advise this family to abort based upon the possibility that the baby is going to be born with ears and a nose that overwhelm...
Go ahead and laugh if you will, Phil, but when you've got a baby who's got a nose and a pair of ears that completely disregard the head and want to go their own way...
Yeah. This is a child that needs to have every advantage. And a nose and two ears that are heading off in their own direction.
And what about the pig face?
What about it?
You don't even answer. He's being a smartass.
I'm done.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm done. Thank you.
You started it, mister.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Phil...
Don't Will Phil me. Don't Will Phil me, okay?
Well, maybe we were hasty, Phil.
No, we're not hasty about anything. You have the gall to go to someone's home and advise them to abort their unborn child because the kid may come out with a big nose and big ears, and because the little girl's making a pig face. Well, hell, that must mean that the baby... You're not only talking like crazy people, okay? She ought to be sued.
You said you... You mean me?
No, but I if I were you, I'd stay clear. I'd stay really clear of Dooley and her antics. Going up to that house and tell them to abort their child because it may come out with ears and a nose that disregard the head. The distance.
Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Hendry.
Go ahead, be a baby if you want. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 7 o'clock Pacific.